This is episode 106.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 106. It is September 21st, 2016, and this is Road Trekking, the RV lifestyle. No matter what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting out there someday, this show is for you, because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering great places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So we welcome you and are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, we have drawn the title for this week's episode, The World is Our Backyard. What a great description of what it is to be living the RV lifestyle these days. And it comes from the sign that our special guests put out on the back of their RV. A little later on in the program, you'll meet Jim and Rhonda Phipps. Jim's one of the regular bloggers on our Road Trekking blog, one of our Road Trekking reporters. And we got a chance to sit down with them not long ago and just to talk to this couple, two recent retirees, and their lifestyle has dramatically changed for the better thanks to their road trekking now across the country in a Class B camper van. So we'll introduce you to the Phipps a little bit later on. Also this week, your questions, some helpful tips, and RV news, and a special off-the-beaten-path report, and much, much more. But right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we are back from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and that was a fun time.
It was. I enjoy Hershey.
What do you like about Hershey?
I like the small town. I like the street lights that are shaped like kisses, chocolate kisses.
Yeah.
I just like Hershey. It's rolling hills. It's pleasant.
It is beautiful farmland. And we have a post up on the blog of some of the things we did besides the big RV show, America's largest RV show, which we cover every year. And that's why we were there last week. Had a great time. I was surprised to learn a lot about the history of the place, but in particular, Hershey's not even an official town. It's just just the name of the place. It's a part of Derry Township, but it's not even an incorporated town.
That's a strange fact, isn't it?
Yeah, and just great history with Milton Hershey, the guy who founded it in 1880, something like that. He came in, and it's a very interesting post. But we had a lot of chocolate. We had a chocolate high for a week here.
Well, I didn't eat that much chocolate.
You did too.
I did not.
You did too. Well, maybe not as much as me, but it was good. And I swear the chocolate is fresher there.
The chocolate is better there.
We found another chocolate company that actually predates Hershey in some of the stuff. It's a little town called Lititz, which is a fun little drive. You wouldn't want to do it in a great big RV, but because it's real narrow two-lane roads. But in our Class B, it was just great. It's about 25 miles or so away, and the Wilbur Chocolate Company.
That was a fun drive. The back roads were pretty, and the town itself is charming. And the candy company, watching them actually pour the chocolate into the molds, was pleasant.
It was very pleasant. Of course, why chocolate in that area? Because of all those fresh milk. And this is milk chocolate, and that's what Milton Hershey and H.O. Wilbur, the guy who founded Wilbur, that's what they kind of specialized in. And anyway, you can read this. A very interesting post on just the history. And I would recommend anybody that's headed that way to go. You're near Gettysburg, so you could make a long, long weekend out of it. And even a week or so is great camping. So we had had a lot of fun. Everybody was asking about Bo, and we did not bring Bo because it was a working trip. We did a lot of live reports from the road trek and the Erwin Heimer displays at the RV show, and interviewed a lot of people. And well, Bo just would not have fit in there, so we left him home, and we came home to Bo.
We did, but Bo has given us some excitement since we've been home.
You could make a sitcom on that episode with Bo the other day.
You could. Should I tell everybody what happened? I went to the store where I buy my bird seed, and I told them I had our dog in the car. And well, they know us, and they wanted to see Bo. So we went out to the car to see Bo. And I said, oh, I hope he doesn't jump out when I opened the door. But he was way in the front. You know, I didn't think, of course, I should know Mexican jumping beans or something is what he eats, Mr. Excitement.
I call him the kangaroo dog. He just bounded to the back.
And he got out and he went running. And this was a very, very busy shopping center. And, you know, my heart's in my throat because of all the traffic, all the cars. And
this isn't just a little store. This is a whole lot of stores. Big, busy. This was on a Saturday, so it was really crowded.
Oh, yeah. So I'm an L-shaped mall. Yeah. I'm at the small part of the L, and I have to turn the corner. I go chasing him, and I see a sheriff deputy.
He stops his car. In the middle, he just slams on his brakes and
stops. He stopped, and Bo decided to go into Trader Joe's. Bo decided to do some shopping. For those of you who are familiar with Trader Joe's, you know this is an upscale area.
It's kind of, if you don't have one near your, Trader Joe's is kind of the affordable and the affordable Whole Foods. It's a great healthy food, but it's not quite as expensive. So I'm rounding the corner while you, and now joined by a sheriff deputy, are chasing Bo, and I'm
running up and down every aisle trying to find my dog, watching people's expressions. Some are laughing, some are pointing, some are saying there's a dog in the store.
And Bo's favorite thing is to be chased. He loves to play. He gets a toy and he wants you to chase him. And so he is having a ball. All I see as I walk in are people going, there's a dog in that store. And they're all looking a little puzzled, and there's this flash of fur going up and down the aisle.
Oh, no. You said that you had the leash in hand, and you were outside the store, and somebody just looked at you and pointed inside.
That's how I knew,
How you knew he was inside. Meanwhile, I kind of stuck with the sheriff deputy, and he said, does he bite? And I said, he's 9 months old. He does not bite. I didn't even think about maybe Bo getting shot. You don't know where this is going to go. But he was having a very good time running up and down the aisles, and finally,
As I walk in, I don't see her. I just see all these people. There's a dog in the store. There's a dog. And then this guy says, here. And he hands me like something. He was in the checkout line. He hands me one of those meat sticks, you know, those Hunter sausages, little things. He says, here, you can use some food to lure them. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope nobody knows me. And I got about 10 feet down the line. So
we found him in the back. Some young man, an employee of Trader Vic's, nabbed him.
Trader Joe's,
I'm sorry. And he was hugging on him and totally enjoying petting Bo, and Bo looked very happy when the officer and I got there. And meanwhile, you entered the store, and the person from the bird seed store said, Mr. Wendland, Bo is in the back. You don't want people to know your name when you have a dog running up and down the aisles and you're totally embarrassed. Like, why can't you control your pet?
Yeah, that's it. Well, so Bo did his Saturday shopping at Trader Joe's.
And I said to everybody, I don't think anybody's going to believe he's a leader dog.
Leader dog material?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Or service dog.
Service dog. A service dog he was not.
That's our Bo. He's 9 months old, and it was quite an exciting time.
And yes, normally, I took off his invisible fence collar when we left, and I did not put on his other collar, so he was without a collar, which bad. Normally we have a short leash on him, so it was just coincidence all kind of happened.
But he enjoyed his shopping excursion, and
so we will be sharper.
Bo will be going with us. We've been home 3 days. That's about as long as we stay home these days. So we're ready to take off again. We're going up boondocking, and I think we're taking our granddaughters with us.
We're hoping it doesn't rain this Friday because we want to take our two granddaughters up into the middle of the woods.
We have this secret spot that we have. We've written about it before in the blog. It's up in Ogemaw County in northern Michigan. Just a gorgeous spot on the Rifle River. We have some family property there. It's a couple hundred acres, so it's a big tract of land, both sides of the river. And we love to boondock there. It's about a mile and a half down a two-track, far off the nearest road. And the nearest road is a pretty small little county road. And we love it because we can let the dog run free. And we're going to try and bring our granddaughters, 13 and 10, our granddaughters. And they've never been camping with us. So they do camp in a tent with their folks. So we're going to try and steal them and have some fun and enjoy. The color's just starting up there. But Bo will be with us there, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that was our adventures with Bo. But we want to say hello to everybody we did meet at Hershey. We really had a great time there. It was so good to see everybody. And I had a good time. We got there on a Tuesday and had dinner with a bunch of our friends who were in the RV press. It's become kind of an annual tradition, a kind of a press meal. And we met somebody right in that restaurant. And another couple that recognized our RV saw where we had parked at this restaurant in Hershey. And we're out looking around, peering in the window to see if Bo was in there. But he wasn't. So thanks to everybody who came out and made us feel so welcome. It was great to see everybody. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. Go to radpowerbikes.com to find an electric bike manufacturer that offers direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. E-bikes, as many call them, are all the rage these days among RVers because they are so powerful, they're so helpful, and they're so much fun. And when you look for an e-bike, Rad Power Bikes is perhaps the best one you can find anywhere. It's an electric bike that is available at an incredible price because they offer direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. They sell direct to you, so you don't have that large retail markup that would be present if you were buying from a third party or a dealer. That means you're always getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. Now, Rad Power Bikes come in three different e-bike models, and they fit a wide variety of rider wants and rider needs. All three models can reach 20 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour. Can you imagine that with zero pedaling? That's that where that little electric motor kicks in. All three models will let you then choose. Do you want to ride pedal-free with throttle? You can use five different levels of pedal assist so that you're pedaling and the engine's helping a little bit, so you get that added boost. I tell you, these bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into riding, are recovering from surgery or injury, or are looking for that little extra help in getting along on up and down the hills. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and they're priced, as I say, at excellent cost, less than half the price of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer and the retail markets are cut off. If you're looking for an e-bike, the ones you want is radpowerbikes.com. Radpowerbikes.com, and use the word road trekking at checkout to take an extra $75 off your purchase price.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
One of the biggest challenges faced by RVers is finding that perfect campsite in that perfect place. The problem is the most popular campgrounds are booked up months in advance, sometimes even a year ahead of time. So it can be very frustrating. The only way to get in is if someone who already has a reservation cancels. That makes your need to spend a lot of time checking. Well, here's a great tip, originally passed along on our Facebook Road Trekking group by Judy Bass. Judy has discovered a terrific online service. If you want to book a site at a public campground and there are no vacancies, go to yesyoucamp.com and enter the information, the campground you want, dates, and length of stay desired. For $3, they'll check the site every 5 minutes and text you if something opens up. For no charge, they'll check every 4 hours and email you. If you book, they request a donation. Again, the site is yesyoucamp.com. That is yesyoucamp.com. If you have a tip you think our listeners would be interested in, use the leave voicemail link on our roadtrekking.com blog. Just record it using the microphone on your computer or tablet and send it along. I'd love to hear from you.
You know, that really is a great service. I mean, how many times have we wanted to go someplace and, you know, we kind of travel spur of the moment? I've not used it. I thought it sounded too good to be true, but I noticed on the Facebook group, lots of people have tried it. And Judy, for example, said that she snagged this very highly desirable spot on the north rim of the Grand Canyon for this week.
Wow.
That's normally booked up, you know, months and months ahead of time. So there you go. We'll put a link to that if you're driving and you didn't get a chance to write down that link that Jennifer gave you. It's called yesyoucamp.com. That's a great tip.
It is a good tip. And there's lots more out there. I know you guys have got them.
All right. Send them in to Jennifer. You can use the leave voicemail link, or you can just send it to jennifer@roadtrekking.com. We love to hear from you. Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by the Good Sam Club, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. Here's an address for you to go to, goodsam.com/roadtrekking. You go there, you'll find that if you've never been a member of Good Sam, you can join for $27. And here's the thing, though. It really doesn't cost you that. Yeah, you put out 27 at the very start to join, but then they send you a special free nights camping voucher that lets you take $25 off the camping rate at one of the 2,100 plus Good Sam parks and campgrounds around the country. So now you've bought that membership for, in effect, $2. But you'll even make that up, because every time you buy gas at one of the Pilot Flying J stations, show your card and you'll save on fuel. And another place you'll save is at the club's official RV accessory retailer, which is Camping World, located all across North America. Camping World and their Camping World Supercenters will let you save even more money. There's special pricing on everything that Good Sam Club members get. The public pays more, you save more. So you can see what a great deal it is to save money, have fun camping, and be part of the largest camping organization in the world, the Good Sam Club. That address to go to, once again, is goodsam.com/roadtrekking.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. It's Mark and Melissa from Des Moines, Iowa. We are ordering a Road Trek CS Adventurous on October 1st. And when we get it, the plan is to use it summer and winter both. We have a job that takes us a couple hundred miles away from home, and the plan is to be able to stay in it during this winter and summer. We understand the concerns about water and how that needs to work to keep that from freezing, and we're more worried about the lithium ion batteries and how they will behave in the wintertime. The plan is that we will never have the coach not have power. It will either be on shore power, or we'll have it on battery power with volt start set to kick in, and just kind of wanted some kind of reassurance that the batteries will take care of themselves under those conditions.
All right. Well, great. Congratulations, Mark and Melissa from Des Moines. And you're going to love your new CS Adventurous XL. That's what we have. And love it. Love it. Has the lithium ion batteries. Well, lithium ion batteries have certainly become the rage of the RV world, because they're so much more efficient than the old style batteries. You get more power out of them. They last longer. They're powerful. They really are great. Now, the early models were very temperature sensitive. I know when we first started with ours 2 years ago, the first winter, because we use ours all year round too. That's, I think, why what you're interested in. We use ours. We always are using. Now, we do winterize the water, the fresh water. There's ways to bring it. You just bring a bottled water with you. That's all you do. And you flush the toilet with antifreeze. We've talked about that before. But the first year we used ours, it was very temperature sensitive. Now, ours was the prototype for lithium ion battery. So we worked really closely with the Road Trek factory in Kitchener, Ontario, and their team of technicians. They've got some of the most knowledgeable lithium ion battery technicians in the world there. And some tweaks and some adjustments in the battery management system took care of that. The temperature problem, when it got too cold, it didn't work. They fixed that right away. Last year, we used it all winter long, had not a lick of problems with our batteries, none. Worked great all winter long. So the key to it is just what you're going to do is to keep it charged. And you're going to do that. Obviously, you've got some solar, you've got shore power, and you'll be running the battery system when you're driving. So I don't think you'll have any problems. I can just tell you our experience that we used it all last year in the winter, and everything worked great. So congratulations, and I'm delighted to hear that you're going to use this during the winter. So many people, it kind of makes me sad to see so many people thinking about putting their RVs away. Now, I understand on the Class A's and the fifth wheels and the great big towables that, you know, it's harder to use those, and you really do put them away in storage. But boy, for the Class B and even many of the B plus or the C vans out there, why people don't use them all year, I don't understand. They handle great in the snow. And we camp in the wintertime, and there's always places around that we find, even in the snow, we camp. Now obviously, we go south and get a little bit warm from time to time, but we camp all winter long. So by all means, use yours and have a great time. And I'd be anxious to meet you out there on the road sometime. Okay, here's another call that came in from another listener who was taking note of our presence at the Hershey RV show this week.
I appreciate it today that you were at Hershey. I've been wanting to go myself for quite some time. I follow you through Road Trekking every week. And I wanted to know if Road Track is going to be introducing additional technology, or are there any surprises coming from 2017 that you know of? I'll be waiting to hear when you do your next week's radio hit. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you. That call came from Jacqueline. And Jacqueline is kind of an interesting question, because it's like those, many of you know, I also cover technology. I do it for all the NBC television stations around the country. I use the name there, PC Mike. And I'm always getting questions. I want to buy a new computer, but aren't they going to come out with some new stuff? Or I've got this smartphone and I want to get the new one, but how long will it be new? And the answer is, as soon as you walk out of the store, it's obsolete, in the sense that they're constantly evolving technology, right? On computers and on cell phones. Well, you know, it's the same now on RVs, in particular the mobile RVs, and from very innovative companies that are out there like Road Trek and others. So will there be surprises? I'm sure there will be. I don't know of any major thing that would make anything truly obsolete, but there will be obviously improvements in solar and solar management and batteries. Is that enough to make you wait? No. I mean, you know, you want to use this thing now. I do not know of any, with Road Trek specifically, not that I don't work for them. I have a good relationship with them, but I don't work with them. And so I have no inside information to that respect. I may be totally wrong on this, but there is nothing that I have heard about that is on the immediate horizon that would cause me to say, you know, well, wait until this time of year, or wait until this to buy it, because they constantly evolve. In fact, every model is different than the model before it, as they learn. And they're a very nimble company. They can change and tweak and add, and they do that with regularity. But nothing major that I know of. I know they're very busy now that Road Trek is owned by the Irwin-Hymer Group. They're working on other vans that they'll be producing under the Hymer brand. They're working on a group of Hymer towable trailers that we looked at the Hershey show. And if you've been to my roadtrekking.com blog, you probably saw some of the new, there's two new models of Road Trek that are being introduced in 2017, and a bunch of new Irwin-Hymer RV-related products, and all that's up on the blog. But as to your specific question about anything major coming technology-wise that would cause you to wait until it's available, I don't know of anything that would cause you to do that. Right now, you know, it usually is a year or so before anything translates into the marketplace, often longer than that. So I know there's lots of R&D, research and development underway at Road Trek and all of the companies, but nothing major coming that would say, wait a minute, I want that on mine. So I hope that answers your question. You can ask your dealer. They certainly will know probably more than I do, because they're dealing with their sales staff. But from my contacts with the company, I don't know of anything that would cause me to say, wait, because most of the new stuff on the 2017s was announced at Hershey. And hey, that gives us a year and a half or so before there'll be anything really big and major after that. So there you go. Hey, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you three companies specializing in Class B motorhomes. While I was out at Hershey, I got a chance to meet the owner and general manager of these three dealerships and look at some of the products that they were showing. They've got a new Chinook Class B RV that is a really nice looking machine. I think that one's the one that has massage chairs. Yes, you know, the captain's chair, the passenger's chair, there's four chairs, you know, two front, two back, and they all have like their own controls, and you can actually get a massage in these chairs. That's how great they are. But I really enjoyed meeting them and learning a little bit more about them. These three dealerships all specialize in Class B RVs, and they have new and used models in stock on the lot right now from Road Trek. They have Pleasure Ways, Leisure Travel Vans, Chinooks, lots of small motorhomes. They all love to deal. They have this special fly and drive program where they'll pick you up at the airport and then reimburse you $500 towards your airfare. So you can fly to either St. Louis for Van City RV or Kalispell, Montana for Creston RV or Las Vegas for Wagon Trail RV. Cut your bets deal. Find them online. Talk to them on the phone or online. Make your deal, fly out there, they'll reimburse your money, and your unit will be all ready for you. Here's Dan, the van man from Van City RV, to talk about what they've got going this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we got a great special on a 2016 190 Popular. Twin beds in the rear, solar panel on the roof, out the door at $99,000. You can check that out at vancityrv.com. We also have some great deals on our Chinooks with savings up to $25,000. We also have some great deals on Coachman Gallerias, built on the 24-foot Sprinter chassis, out the door at $103.9. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905.
Thank you, Dan. And here's something I want to just add to this this little announcement for Van City RV, because Van City RV, Wagon Trail RV, Creston RV, all owned by the same folks. I got a voicemail from a happy customer at Creston RV. And I was going to share this under the listener feedback, but I thought I'd share it right now because he's talking about, this is totally unsolicited, and this is from Bill, who talks about his experience when something went wrong with his RV.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. This is Bill Bechtel calling from Montana. Just wanted to give you a shout out about one of your sponsors. My wife and I have been exploring Montana with another Road Trek couple. As we were coming out of Glacier National Park, our refrigerator suddenly stopped working. I got on my iPhone and started looking for RV repair services and came across Creston RV in Kalispell, which I remembered hearing about on your podcast. Since Creston was only minutes away, we drove right over there. Their friendly staff took us right in, and their technician, Jamie, had the problem diagnosed and fixed in half an hour, and we were on our way. I love your podcast, and I love Creston RV.
Hey, thank you, Bill, for sharing that. You know, we had a breakdown in coming out of Glacier one year on our Mercedes. It was an engine problem with the Mercedes, and we had to drive to Missoula, Montana to get that taken care of at a Mercedes dealer. And they gave us a loaner vehicle. We had actually a great time in Missoula. But I'm so happy to hear this great experience that you had with Creston. Love hearing that. And after meeting all those guys in person at the Hershey show last week, I can easily believe that they took that good care of you. These guys care deeply about their customers. They consider you guys family. There you go. So thanks for sending that in. And you can check all those guys out yourselves at their websites. There's links to them on the show notes episode for this page, for this podcast. You find that at roadtrekking.com/106.
Time now for RV basic training. Tips, tricks, and how-to info to make you a happy camper.
Well, you know, the big trend out there is boondocking, going off-grid, going in a non-developed campsite, having fun, and being out in the middle of nowhere. That's what Jennifer and I are going to do this weekend with our granddaughters, as I mentioned earlier. And I thought I'd pass along this list. We shared it on our Road Trekking newsletter that we send out to subscribers free every Monday. It comes from the U.S. Forest Service, and it's a great bit of, it really fits under RV basic training for those of you who are heading out and are going to be camping, sometimes far off the grid. The U.S. Forest Service recommends being prepared for minor injuries, for sudden weather changes, and other unexpected events. And these are the kind of items that we all should have in our RV whenever we head out camping for any extended amount of time. So let me just run them in a few of these things. And this whole list, if you want a copy of it, just go to roadtrekking.com/106 and scroll down to the RV basic training part and you'll see this list. But the first thing is a simple one that everybody should have at their home as well. Candles, a couple of candles, emergency light supply, warmth, all sorts of stuff. Candles are important. A compass is important. You want to know what direction you're in. Many times you can get a compass app on your smartphone. Those are pretty good. Nothing compares to an honest-to-goodness real compass that shows magnetic north and true north. You can find those very reasonable on Amazon. So you want candles, a compass. I don't need to tell you that you need a flashlight, right, with batteries. Actually, every RV should have several flashlights with batteries. But here's some other things you may not know. Foil. Why do you need foil? Well, you can use foil as a cup for water if you don't have any around. You can use it because it's shiny as a signaling device if you're lost or if there's a plane overhead or you need to get a hold of somebody. You need to have a hat, of course. You want insect repellent. You want to always have a real map, not one just on your smartphone or your tablet. Those are great, but you want a paper map. What happens if your battery is dead? What happens if your smartphone battery dies? Well, you know, then you can't access those maps or if you don't have any internet connection. So have a paper map of the area that you're in handy. Nylon filament is great because, well, if you're near water, you can figure out a way to catch fish with that. Everybody should have a good pocket knife. Everybody. I'm amazed how many people don't have pocket knives. When I was a kid, everybody carried one. I mean, I had one since I was 7 years old. And now, well, you'll cut your finger off. Well, come on. We all grew up that way. You all want to have a good pocket knife in your RV and in your pocket when you're out camping. Pocket mirrors are important. You hurt yourself, you're all alone. You want that mirror to be able to look around your body a little bit. You can also use a mirror as a signaling device. If you wear prescription glasses, I always have a pair of extra glasses in our RV. I only use them for reading, and I use the old one. You know, you get a new set of glasses every couple of years. I always just leave the old one in the RV, and I have it right there if I need it. If you've got prescription meds, you always want to make sure you have a supply of them with you in your RV. Have a radio that works on batteries. There's a number of radios. Just go on Amazon, look up radios, and you can find solar-powered radios. You can find crank-up radios, but you do want a radio so you know what the weather's going to be like. Bring sunglasses, right? That's an easy one to remember. Sunscreen, because you get sunburn out there. That's important. Bring a couple of big trash bags. You know those great big ones that you use for your lawn and garden, you know, for garden debris? They make a great poncho if you get stuck in a sudden rainstorm. In fact, they're just good to keep in your back pocket if you're out hiking. One of those big, you know, heavy-duty trash bags that you use for your lawn. And then the last thing is simple, bring a whistle. It scares off animals. You can use it as a signaling device. Other people can find you. Everybody should have a whistle. So there you go. Oh, yeah, waterproof matches. Bring those, too. You want to have waterproof matches. And you can find those, again, if you just go to Amazon.com. You can buy a lot of that stuff. Just search under emergency survival gear, and you'll find more stuff than you need. But that's a good list. And that comes to us in the U.S. Forest Service. And, again, I'll put this list on the show notes page. And you can find it under RV Basic Training. RV Basic Training is sponsored by Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. We saw a lot of the Campers Inn folks at Hershey last year. Last week, they were at the big RV show as well. And Campers Inn is a great little outfit. I love this. They've been around for 50 years, award-winning RV sales and service, and family-owned. They started in 1966. It's just a great American success story. Art and Fran Hirsch began it in their front yard of their Acton, Massachusetts home. They literally invested their life savings to buy four folding tent trailers. And they started the business selling them right out of their front yard. And their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life. Well, 50 years have gone by since then, and they are now up and down and all across the eastern part of the country. We love the fact there's 15 dealerships under the Camping Inn name and the moniker. You can find they cover literally everything that you would possibly want in terms of an RV. You can find every single kind of RV from towables to motorhomes there. And again, great professional staff, certified, trained people. Campersinn.com. Check them out.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
I got a couple, three stories for you this week. A good news story. Don't you love stories about lost dogs getting found? Cece is a lost dog, got lost in the mountains of El Dorado National Forest out west in California back in July. And Cece's an 11-year-old dog, and her owner, Vivian Say, said that she didn't think she'd ever see her dog again after she lost Cece during a camping trip in early July. Cece was with Say on a hike, and the dog got spooked by the sounds of a waterfall, took off. Say spent the day looking for him and never could get him back, never saw. Had to return back to the Bay Area without her dog, Cece. She left behind posters and signs. And finally, after 11 weeks, somebody out there saw Cece, called Say. She went back out there, looked around, and found her, got a quick look at her, but couldn't get to her, and got some more people. And long story short, his dog and owner reunited. Cece and the dog and the owner are back home after 11 weeks. That happened to us once on a campground up in this place I was just telling about where we're going to go this weekend, up in Ogemaw County. We had a bunch of people up there, and at the time I was working for a television station, and Margie, one of the anchors on the TV station, brought her dog up, and her dog got lost, and we waited and waited all weekend, couldn't find it, and it was just, you know, it was really, really sad. The dog, there's a lot of coyotes up there. It was just a little dog. So next weekend, went back up, and there the dog was waiting right at the campsite. So it does happen. Dogs are so much smarter than us, aren't they? Congratulations to the Says and to Cece. They're reunited, and dog and owner back home in Oakland, California. Snowbirds, about ready to hit the road. Do you know how much of an impact they have on an area? There was a really interesting story that ran this week about Mississippi along the Gulf Coast. And snowbirds, most of them in RVs, most often in an RV, they estimate that they bring $269 million a year to the Mississippi economy along the Gulf Coast. Population of South Mississippi swells. Most of these are baby boomers. They come from across the country in Canada. They head south, bring in their RVs, spending sometimes half the year on the coast. That gives more business to local RV parks and restaurants and casinos. So $269 million a year, that's the total RV industry impact that the snowbirds bring to Mississippi. Of course, Texas has a whole bunch, as does Florida, as does Arizona. And it all starts right about next week. Around the 1st of October, the snowbirds start coming through. I've noticed along the Gulf Coast, where we spend a lot of time, that the campgrounds are just about all filled up really with seasonal bookings from October, November, right on through March when the season ends. And all those are by snowbirds. And it's pretty amazing. I got a link to that story as well. But they refer that story to a University of Michigan study commissioned by the Recreation Vehicle Industry Association. It says the average RV owner has an average income of $62,000 a year, is married, and spends as much time as they can getting away because they want to relax. So RVers, you have a big economic impact, particularly you snowbirders. One more story for those of you who are great fans of the bison of Yellowstone National Park. It's a pretty controversial proposal that state lawmakers up in Helena are debating, and it has to do with a petition and a fact that some notes that state lawmakers are going to send a letter to managers at Yellowstone urging them to allow Native American tribes to have the right to hunt bison on park lands. That's pretty dramatic. The Montana Environmental Quality Control Council voted 9-7 the other day to draft this letter. More than an hour of testimony on tribal bison hunts that are held on state land near Gardner and West Yellowstone. There are four tribes out there involved, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, the Nez Perce tribe, the Shoshone Bannock tribes, and the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. They've all asked for and received the right to hunt bison in the Yellowstone area based on treaties they signed with the U.S. government. They set their own regulations. They determine how many animals they can take, but they're limited to basically national forest and some publicly owned land like a state forest, but it excludes Yellowstone. And what they want is the ability that if they shoot an animal in this these areas where they are allowed to hunt, that they could go, and the animal is wounded and goes into Yellowstone, that they have the right to go in and retrieve it. Right now, they can't do that. So it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of controversy. A couple of senators think that it's too early to make this kind of a recommendation. They say that it's an overreach by this commission to send that kind of a letter today. And there are residents in the Gardner area who are concerned about tribal hunting, and particularly people who are hunting about bison, which were almost extinguished by hunting and have now been brought back intentionally to Yellowstone as a great resource for people and tourism. And follow that. We'll kind of keep track of that, and you can see how that all develops. But I don't know. How do you feel about that? Hunting bison in Yellowstone? I don't know. I guess they aren't going to hide them inside, but they want an ability if they hit one and it's wounded and it goes in Yellowstone, they can go track it down. I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel about it. I guess I don't live up there, but I do go to Yellowstone. I love those bison, and it just doesn't seem right with me yet. Hey, this part of the podcast, RV News of the Week, is brought to you by Aldi, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System is absolutely the hottest thing going now in heating systems for RVs. They're available on several different platforms from several different manufacturers. And the reason you like this, well, this is the same kind of high-end baseboard radiant heat you find in special homes and executive-style homes. This is a great heating system because it is hydronic. It is silent. There's none of that rushing air noise you get from forced air propane heaters. This is a silent heat. That means it's a warm, even natural heated interior that the Aldi system provides your RV. It's great for your pets and, of course, humans too. You get increased interior space because the Aldi system combines your water heating system with your air heating system. It's very efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and it will extend the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. Lots of options, lots of amenities. The one that Jennifer have and I have on our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL is the heated floors. So nice. Have you been outside, or have you been camping in the last couple of weeks throughout the really north of Tennessee? The evenings are finally getting cool. Mornings are quite cool. We've had our heat kick on a couple of times, and we love that heated floor. It's so nice to walk around in the middle of the night. Anyway, check it out when you're shopping for an RV. The only name you really need to know, tell your dealer, is Aldi, A-L-D-E. Aldi, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Well, it's officially fall. Wednesday the 21st, fall came to North America, so it's now a new season. And it's also football season. And our pal Steve Van Dinter from Verizon Wireless has some info on football season for you RV travelers out there.
Hi there, Mike. How did it get to be football season already? Well, it is, and hopefully you've got your fantasy football team in a good place. But with all the travel you do, how do you keep up on the games, especially while on the road? Well, if you've got Verizon, that is easy. Just open up the NFL mobile app. Being a Verizon customer gives you access not just to news, stats, and facts about your favorite teams and players, but you can also watch live HD streams of the games in market for free. Not only that, but you won't use any data watching your games as well. As long as you're viewing through the NFL mobile app or Go 90, you won't see the smallest dent in your data plan. So go ahead and stream football from sea to shining sea. Just make sure you're in the passenger seat, of course, while watching. Again, to access this free content, simply download NFL mobile or Go 90 from your respective app store, then kick back and enjoy kickoff.
And you
with
can
this
do
week's
that.
Traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Thanks, Steve. You can do that so easily wherever you are in the country by using the Verizon network. Verizon is the official wireless provider for the roadtrekking.com website. We use Verizon everywhere we go. We have the Jetpack and their 4G LTE coverage across the country. And now, of course, fantasy football time and football season, we can be out boondocking pretty much anywhere. And I call up that app and watch all the scores, all the games. Pretty cool app. Verizon, sponsor of our traveling tech section on the Road Trekking podcast.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, thank you. We love to collect Off the Beaten Path reports from our listeners. If you have one, you can use that leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com to phone it in. That's what listener Jim McKay did this week.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. This is an Off the Beaten Path report by Jim McKay. Highly encourage everybody to go to Madison, Indiana. It has a small city campground of approximately 30 sites. Sites 1 through 15 are on the Ohio River. You can actually hear the tugboats as they push their barges up the Ohio River. The sites 15 through 30 are just on the other side of the entranceway and well within hearing and seeing distance of the Ohio River. Highly encourage you to bring your bikes. The Madison Historic District is a historic district that in 2006 was named a National Historic Landmark due to its unique Midwestern beauty and architectural scheme. Among the prominent buildings in the district are the Lehner Mansion. One of the buildings was one of the two buildings separately considered a National Historic Landmark in the district, and the Schofield House, the birthplace of the Grand Lodge of Indiana. In total, it comprises 133 blocks of Madison. It's a great time to ride your bike, enjoy the sights and sounds of the city. Plenty of shopping and knick-knack shops throughout the main street. Easy access with bikes to the campground and around the area. Many of the prominent buildings in the district were built by a Madison native architect, Francis Constiga. I hope I said that right. Who favored the Greek Revival style. Two of these are the National Historic Landmarks of the Lehner Mansion and the Charles L. Shrewsbury House. The Lehner Mansion was the former home of James Lehner, who lent money to the governor, Oliver P. Morton, to run the Indiana state government to circumvent the legislative process between 1862 and 65. The Shrewsbury Wendell House was built for the steamboat captain of Charles Shrewsbury, who would later become the mayor of Madison. Constigian himself built his home in the district and is considered one of the best uses of a narrow lot by a modern architect. A 30-foot parlor is considered the highlight of the house. Madison was one of the first major stops on the Underground Railroad, with many of the homes in the area having once been used for assisting escaped slaves. There are tours given around the around through the different houses in the area. You can go to visitmadison.org. That's visitmadison.org. You can see all the different things going on within the city, and it's a quick, easy way, cheap way to enjoy a weekend. The campsites prices are listed on the Allstays app, and like I said, you have to call ahead. They only take cash or check. You can mail them the check, and they'll send you a receipt. That's all for now. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Jim McKay, for that off the beaten path report from Madison, Wisconsin. And Jim mentioned the Allstays app, and they are the sponsor of our off the beaten path section. And Allstays, I tell you, that's the only app that you need for finding places to stay and the information that you need for your RV travel. Allstays.com. They've been the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. They have traveler information about every different type of campground that you'd need, every kind of information you'd need, finding RV suppliers, RV repair centers, dump sites, places where you can dump that that wastewater that is on your RV. And the beauty is you open this app up and using your GPS built-in functions on your smartphone, it will then show you whatever is nearby, whatever you want to see nearby. We use it, like if we're on the freeway, I'll often have it show me all the rest areas that are coming up so I can kind of plan when Jennifer and I switch off driving. It shows us interesting sites. We always will look where we think we might be at 3:30 or so in the afternoon, and then we find some campgrounds in that area or places to boondock. Yep, it shows you that too. Shows you if you just want a quick overnight, which Walmarts allow overnight parking in your area. It also shows you nearby places that you can boondock and camp in the parking lot, like Cracker Barrel and Cabela's. You check it out. Allstays, Allstays.com. It'll lead you to a link, and you can get that app for whatever kind of smartphone you might have.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The Small Motorhome RV Travel Blog. Travel blog.
Well, you know, on that travel blog, we have a whole network of road trekking reporters, people who we have very carefully screened and people that we know that live this lifestyle, that exemplify all the things that we want to talk about being out there. And one guy in particular that we love is Jim Phipps. Jim has been with us for a long time, and Jim and his wife, Rhonda, are recent retirees. And their life has changed dramatically since they began the RV lifestyle. We caught up with them at a recent road trekking event up in Canada, and just thought you would love to get a chance to meet a couple. On the back of their RV, it says, "The world is my backyard." Meet Jim and Rhonda Phipps. Everybody dreams about taking off in an RV, about retiring, finally having time to do the things you want to do. But nobody is quite sure when you contemplate that what it's really like. So let's meet a couple who did just that. They retired, they took off in an RV, and Jim and Rhonda Phipps, your life changed dramatically, didn't it?
Yes, it really did change. We've had time to do things that we only dreamt about doing before.
And Jim, you were a teacher.
I was, yes.
For many years.
Teacher for many years, an administrator in a school building for many years. Missed the kids. Wish that I could show the kids all the things I'm learning on the road.
Now, that's another thing that we have heard over and over as we talk to RVers, is how much we learn that we, things that we had no idea of, that every day is a learning experience.
You turn a corner, and it seems to look one way, but then you go down the road a ways, stop, talk to people, look and see what's there, and it's a whole different experience than what you thought. And it's always been good. It's not been bad.
Now, tell us, Rhonda, about your travel style a little bit. How much traveling do you do? It certainly has increased over the last year, and then we'll talk about lifestyle changes. But how much traveling have you been doing?
Well, we pretty much travel all the time. We stay home a couple of weeks, and then we're gone 2 or 3 weeks to a month. We miss the grandkids, so we do end up coming home often, more often than I thought we would. We're just about ready to go on a 3-month tour. This is going to be our longest yet, and I'm nervous.
You're nervous.
I'm nervous.
Because you're going to miss the kids?
I'm going to miss the kids terribly.
Yep. But that's the beauty. You can just turn around and go there, right?
Right.
Well, that's right. That's exactly
now,
right.
Now, talk about how your lifestyle has changed. The things that you have done
that you never did before. And I have the ability to kind of have knowing you guys now for a couple of years and to have seen some of this transformation itself. But I was telling you guys earlier that if I was going to do a reality show, I'd probably do it on you guys. You've lived a pretty exciting life lately.
Well, today, for the first time, we tried snorkeling. And that's something that I've always wanted to do, but I've never had the opportunity. And when you're traveling like this and you walk up to a shop and they say, hey, for $35, we'll give you everything you need and you can have it for 24 hours, you just do it. So that's a change.
Now, she says snorkeling, and you're all out there listening, picturing, well, you know, coral fish and nice warm weather. No, she is in Ontario, northern Ontario, at the in Tobermory, which is in Lake Huron, which is a cold freshwater lake. And Jim, and we'll put a picture up with you guys. We saw you coming out of there this morning, but it was cold out there. You had to wear a wetsuit.
Yes, we did have to wear a wetsuit, and that was a good thing. It did keep me warmer, but the water was very, very chilly. But we got to see 4 or 5 shipwrecks. I would have never seen that if we wouldn't have taken this chance and tried it.
Before you started to RV, Rhonda, could you ever picture yourself doing that?
No, I don't even swim.
She doesn't swim. And
she doesn't swim.
I don't swim.
She doesn't swim. She's a scuba noodler.
I did. I used a noodle. I had to use a noodle to keep afloat.
But you stuck your face underwater and
I
sucked
did.
Through that snorkel. Now, I know other things that you have done. You just recently were a part of our Smoky Mountains group, and you went out on what was going to be a nice overnight campground stay in a little organized campground, and you ended up doing something called dirt bagging. Why don't you tell everybody what happened to the two of you out there then? We'll start with Jim.
Our hike was going well until our leader decided that we weren't nearly as far as we thought we should be. So we hiked a couple miles more and discovered we were not going to make it to our destination that night. So we went to the first organized camp, actually the first camp spot that had bear paraphernalia, which is wires hung in a tree where you can hang your food and your backpacks out of the way so that while your food is up there in the tree safe, you're outside sleeping on the ground in the dirt. Dirt bagging.
There you were.
Yes, we were, but it was a really wonderful experience. I had a little hard time falling asleep, and when it finally started getting dark, I sat up and I looked around, and we were surrounded by a million fireflies. It was the most beautiful night I've ever spent outside.
Again, could you imagined yourself doing that 10 years ago?
I never would have ever tried that 10 years ago. Never.
So you're a snorkeler. You guys are dirt baggers, and I know in the wintertime you have braved winter camping.
Snowshoeing. We learned how to snowshoe thanks to road trekking. We went to a snowshoeing event in Tequamanon Falls. We wouldn't miss it for the world now. This will be our third time this winter.
Yeah, Jim, what are your thoughts to people who are thinking about retiring, getting an RV, and they have this notion they want to go out and see the country, but you know, deep down, nobody quite knows what to expect. What's your advice to them?
People who schedule every stop and have to get so far each day and have to see each stop probably wouldn't find what we do to their liking very much. We sort of get an idea where we want to go, point the van in that direction, and when we make it in 1 day or 2 or 3 or 4, that's okay. We make it. It's awesome. We always look for the good in people. We look for the good that we see there. Each trip has always been just a good trip. If you go with the attitude that it's an adventure, that it's not something you dread, but an adventure, you're going to have a great time.
I think that's the title for this episode, don't you? It's an adventure. And life is an adventure.
Yes, it is.
Now, you've done a couple of other things this year. I know you were a campground host and hostess. What's that about, and why did you do that? That's work, sounds like.
Well, it was work, but really and truly, it was working, doing the things that we love doing. We were camping. They gave us a free camp spot. We got to do crafts with the kids. We got to make coffee on Saturday mornings. We stayed there for an entire month. We met a boatload of new friends, and we were in our favorite campground, so it was win-win for us.
How does that work, Jim?
Well, we chose East Tawas Campground.
That's in Michigan.
It's in Michigan. It's a lighthouse point. The month we chose was May. So we started early in May, and at that point, at that latitude in Michigan, it's really kind of barely spring. So we saw the campground come from early spring all to late spring, and birds and flowers and trees, everything totally transformed, and we were part of it. We saw it. We lived it. It was awesome.
Now, we happen to be, that you are a campground host, and we should point out to people that in almost any state in the country, the state park systems thrives and really works these campgrounds on hosts who come in, and sometimes they're even paid a little bit of money, but usually it's a free spot, and mm-hmm. you become a host, kind of grandma and grandma to all the kids, and,
right.
And then, what's involved with all that?
Well, the good thing is you don't have to clean the bathrooms. That was what I was afraid of. I didn't want to have to clean public bathrooms. But you don't. And you don't have to confront anyone. If there's a problem, you don't go to the person. You just go to the ranger and you say, I think you need to go, you know, and check this out. But other than that, all you do is you walk around the campground two or three times a day, make sure everything's okay, check the bathrooms, make sure there's toilet paper that you do resupply, and you play. You just have fun and play with the kids and do all the camping things.
Yeah. You're the face of the campground, so that if you're smiling, and that's what they want you to do is paste on a smile. If you're smiling and greeting people and laughing and giving information, learn as much about the campsite and the area as you can. Give them as much information as they can, as they require. It works out very well. Michigan is a state that has this kind of a situation where you basically don't do pay, or you don't get paid, you get your campsite for free, it's a full hookup. Other states require you to actually do some work, like cleaning of bathrooms and such. There are private campgrounds that you can go to and have a similar situation, but each one of those is different. So if you're thinking about it, you really need to do a little research.
All right. Now, that's one option. Now, I happen to know that you're about ready, as we now get into fall, to embark on yet another adventure. Rhonda, what are you going to do?
Well, first, we're going to Minnesota, mm-hmm. and we're going to work at the sugar beet factory, where they harvest the sugar beets, and we'll be meeting the trucks and testing the sugar beets and telling the trucks to go on so that we can meet another truck. It's a 15-day job, 12 hours a day. Going to be interesting.
Do they pay you for that job?
They pay very well.
And you stay in a campground? Or?
Yes, they pay for the campground, and it has full hookups. We just have to get to the factory from the campground, and I think ours is 5 miles away, so that won't be a problem.
So you're going to be, I mean, what do they call it? A sugar beet counter? What is the position that you do?
When they take the sugar beets and they dump them in a pile, then we have some sort of a gadget, I don't know what it is, that'll reach into that pile and pull some out. We put those in a bag and they go to be tested. I think it's a temperature thing.
This is what they're testing.
So
you're going... you know, I don't even know where to go with that one, but that's the kind of jobs that are out there for
yes.
people. Now, and then after you do that, what's your big one?
Well, the big one is working for Amazon. So we will spend 2 months working in one of the Amazon fulfillment centers. Ours will be in Campbellsville, Kentucky. There we don't know the job that we will get. We know we've applied for either a packer or a picker or a runner. All of which can be, well, all of them are called hard work. And by hard work, they mean that in a 10-hour day, you can easily walk 10 miles. That sounds like a lot, but 10 hours and for 10 miles, that really isn't bad. We walk a lot anyway.
Yes.
So you are, and this helps you then finance all of the travel that you'll do the rest of the year.
That's right. That's how we'll pay for the following year's traveling.
Now, I wanted to just end it with this other thing. There's also been kind of a physical transformation for the two of you since I met. And Rhonda, tell us about that.
Well, I discovered low-carb dieting. It's a low-carb, high-fat dieting. And we've both lost 40 or 50 pounds on that. And we're much healthier. And I think that's the reason that we're so active now, is because we feel great.
So here you are. Am I right in saying you're in your 70s?
No, no. 65.
65, well, 65. All right. So here you are, probably the healthiest you've been in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
And how about stress?
Well, there really isn't a lot of stress. Probably the stress that comes is with old age, where sometimes hearing doesn't work and you have to repeat to each other. But I think everybody gets that, whether you're on the road or no matter what you're doing. But other stress, there really isn't the kind of stress we had when I was working.
No, no. I think we have a very stressless
free?
Life,
yeah,
stress-free.
Now, a lot of couples who are listening to this and thinking this, wow, sounds great, they'd have one other question is... how do you two get along out here? Better? Worse? Challenges? Tell us.
I think much better. We don't have all the things pulling us that we do when we're at home. So we just can focus on each other, having a good time, and just relaxing.
There's a whole lot less stuff to tend to.
Yes.
It's all here in the van. We know where everything goes, everything in this place. Sometimes we're like one person with four hands when we go to get a job done. It just all gets put away like it's supposed to be, exactly where it goes.
Am I fair in saying this is one of the best times you've had in your life?
Absolutely fair. I think so.
I think so.
Jim and Rhonda Phipps, snorkelers, snowshoers, work campers, and sugar beet counters, and road trekkers, true and true. Thank you guys for being with us on this part of the podcast.
Thank you, Mike. It was fun.
It was fun. Thank you, Mike.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there road trekking.
Yes, we will out there road trekking. So many of us on the road now, not just during the summertime, but all year long. There are work campers and campground hosts and tourists and weekenders and just long-term full-timers. Many of us in many different ways enjoying, as the Phipps just shared, the best times of our lives out there road trekking. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I'd love to hear your story as well. You can record a voicemail message, ask us a question, offer some comments, share your story. Just click the right-hand little black button on the roadtrekking.com website. Also, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitchers. We release new episodes every single Wednesday morning. We invite you also to join our mailing list. We send out a special free newsletter to subscribers every Monday. You can sign up right from the blog. So, till next time, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and Bo, our 9-month-old puppy, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. We'll see you out there, everybody. Bye-bye.